Our gospel lesson comes to us from John chapter 6, verses 21 through 35. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not got into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to this world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know the smell of fresh baked bread? It's probably one of the best smells in the world. When I was a kid, my family was involved in Revolutionary War reenactment, and I remember sleeping on straw under a canvas tent and waking up to the smell of fresh baked bread in a Dutch oven. That one smell can bring me back to my childhood instantly, when I ran around with a wooden sword, wearing a three-pointed colonial hat, eating rock candy. That's how powerful that one smell can be. Now today, the gospel lesson is about bread. Most Americans these days are pretty far removed from the agrarian culture of a Galilean peasant. I would imagine most of us usually buy bread at the grocery store. It's sliced, ready to go. For some, it's even gluten-free. Sometimes we might buy fresh baked bread at the farmer's market or a bakery. There are some who bake their own bread, but overall, we're far removed from the folks Jesus is talking to. They would have seen wheat growing in the fields. They would have known how to thresh the wheat. They would have ground the flour themselves, and there would have only been one oven sometimes in some of the small towns there. Now, a few years ago, I decided to give it a go, to bake my own loaf of bread. It was in the summer, and we were trying to use the oven as little as possible, so we had a bread machine that would make it into a nice loaf. As I was adding the ingredients, Siobhan gave me this lecture about the science that goes into bread. She told me what gluten does, why sugar, or in our case, honey, why it's important, because yeast is this living organism. For 4 years, Siobhan made wheat bread for our family every week. somehow I discovered in the few minutes of me adding the ingredients how simple we have it. In a few hours, at the sound of a beep, after mixing these ingredients, I had fresh baked bread. When we were in Tennessee, every once in a while our family visited grist mills where we would see corn or wheat ground into flour. And one time I took the girls to a fort where we tried grinding corn in a mortar and pestle. We discovered it wasn't easy at all. Now, I know we're a bit closer to farms here in Jacksonville than most Americans, but it's really easy to take it for granted, especially with modern machinery. Now, in our Bible story, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people bread. And right now, he's escaped the crowd, but the crowd is desperate to find Jesus because they've had their fill of this bread, but there was something different about it. Somehow, it was much more satisfying than any other bread they've had. They have questions. They need answers, so they start searching for Jesus. And after some time searching, they finally find him, and he tells them, "You were looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." If we're really honest with ourselves, most everyone you know are in desperate search for this very thing. We're looking to be satisfied. It's as true for people today as it was for this crowd. We desire to be satisfied and to be filled. We all want our life to have meaning and purpose. I know many here are overwhelmed. Some are tired, some are hurt, some are desperate. And I know how hard this world is. This world tells us over and over again that what we have or who we are isn't enough. And certainly there are moments when we felt hopeless in the face of great need, especially in those times when we need to pay the bills and we don't have enough. Or when we feel overwhelmed when someone we love is hurting and we want to do something, but there's little we can do to fix it. Or when the test results don't go as expected and we're left without a plan. Or when our children or loved ones or ourselves are hurting or struggling. These are those moments when we're desperate, like this crowd looking for answers. And we're constantly being told that there's something that can fill the void. In media or commercials or whatever it is, there's always something that can fix it. But I would imagine most of us are tired of the world's answers. And that's why we come here week after week, desperately searching for Jesus. Now, this crowd has found something in the bread that they just ate that's left them puzzled. They've experienced something they've never, ever experienced before. They've had a taste of peace and joy and hope. And this taste of being satisfied has stopped for them everything else in search for these answers. And they're willing to look far and wide for Jesus. And when they finally find Jesus, he reminds the crowd and he reminds each of us that there's only one thing that will satisfy. It's not a fancy vacation or a spouse that looks like a model or even the best hospital or doctors in the world. None of these things will satisfy. We must stop eating the food that perishes, he says. Because there's only one thing that will fill this void and satisfy us. The bread of heaven comes down and gives life to the world. And we plead like the crowd, give us this bread always, Jesus. And Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So we come here to this place hoping to find answers. And I know most of us are tired of looking for those quick fixes, those band-aids, because we've tried them and they don't work. They don't satisfy us. We're all in desperate need, just like this crowd, for the food that endures. We want to be satisfied, to be filled, to have meaning and purpose. That's why we come here to this place. And when we give ourselves completely to the Lord, that's when we'll be satisfied like never before. Whatever comes our way, God will be there. God is always faithful, providing us what we need to be satisfied. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing bad will come our way. We still live in a fallen world, a world where our bodies decay, where accidents happen, where evil lurks, and we're still easily swayed. But it does give us the endurance needed in a world. Several years ago, a friend of mine shared about a struggle she had faced. She said this, when I was 5 months pregnant, I went for my ultrasound to find out the gender, and they discovered my child's brain was malformed at this scan. After visiting specialists and having a fetal MRI to give me as much information about my baby as possible, I was asked if I wanted to continue with my pregnancy or to terminate. I could not delay because of how far along I was. I had to decide. I was struggling, big time. My decision would change my entire life, and it wouldn't just impact me, but it would change my older daughter's life, my whole family. Nothing would be the same. It would be hard. Could I do this? She says, I was a mess. So one night, I was in bed, and I just cried out in desperation, God, tell me what to do. I'm so lost and unsure. And at that very moment, my baby kicked me hard. And I knew that was my answer. I said to myself, okay, God, if she's going to fight, then I will fight for her. And I've been doing just that for 6 years. Tilly can't stand. She can't walk, talk, crawl, or eat. She's totally dependent on me as her caregiver. Some days are unbearable, and I want to give up. Sometimes I'm angry with my situation. I hate the phrase, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, because a lot of days, I'm not handling it, but merely holding on for dear life. Yet overwhelmingly, I have more days where I grow and I learn and I become better because of her challenges. Ultimately, having my daughter has brought a lot of changes in my life. Some painful, like the end of my marriage, but even through it all of it, better things have emerged. I'm now married to a good man who I adore and who is a nurturing father to both my children. And she says this, I firmly believe God has a plan for us. It may not look as we want, but we have to trust in God. when we surrender and go with God's plan, we have a beautiful life. I'm living proof. Jesus reminds the crowd and us that he's the only thing that will satisfy. There's something better than fresh bread, and it's the bread of life. Every time we eat it here at Christ's table, we can get our fill of hope and peace and joy, and we become satisfied. Everything else in life will leave us unsatisfied. But when we eat the bread of life, we'll never go hungry, we'll never go thirsty, because God has a plan for us. But we have to trust in God. Surrender all and go with God's plan for your life. God will give you a beautiful life. So stop searching, stop wondering. God will provide for you an amazing, an abundant, full life, rich, something that always satisfies and gives us hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.